You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Strandline Resources Technical and Marketing Director, Mike Ferraro. Mike is a resource industry professional with 30 plus years experience. His experience includes significant roles, including Managing Director of Doral and Chief Operating Officer of MZI, as well as early technical and operational management roles with Crystal and Simcoa. Specific to mineral sands, he has managed completion of bankable feasibility studies, operational readiness for greenfield for several operations and subsequent management thereof, as well as oversight on several expansions including design approvals, project management and market development. Welcome, Mike, to the program.
Thank you, Kieran. It's a pleasure to be here today.
So let's start from the very beginning. I'm going to take you back a little bit, Mike. We won't give away your age, but you've got, in that intro, we've got 30 plus years. How did it all begin?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Way back in high school, I went to Curtin University for my metallurgy degree, and way back they were doing a business development round and trying to get students at the time to move in and take up degrees. And of course, back in when I went through university, the majority of children as they came out of high school went on and did other things other than get a tertiary degree. Of course, today most kids that come out are getting tertiary degrees. So they did the sell on what a metallurgist does. I was particularly interested in chemistry at the time, and I thought, wow, that sort of takes in some of the chemistry, but I also come from a farming background. And I liked the outdoors, and I thought, well, the metallurgy seems to be a really good fit for my love of chemistry and love of the outdoors, and that's how I became a metallurgist. So I did my metallurgy degree, and that was way, way back, as you rightly point out. Was fortunate enough in my final year to actually get a traineeship with BHP and worked in a blast furnace environment, which was a smelting environment, and of all the metallurgy that you could do, making iron and steel was quite romantic for my way of thinking, and that's how I started out.
Quite romantic for your way of thinking. So what's the romance there involved?
The romance is that iron has been made for a very, very long time. I mean, you go right back to, way before the Roman era, of course. You go right back to, caveman days. And I remember in one of my early classes, there was a picture of cavemen sitting around the campfire, just staying warm. And they get up in the morning and they go and have a look, and there's this iron that's all molten in the bottom of the campfire, the end of the campfire that was finished, what's left over in the morning. And they sort of worked out that, we mix a bit of carbon with a bit of iron ore, and obviously they used iron ore rocks to form their campfire. And this is, of course, totally fairy tales, as we probably realise, because they wouldn't have been able to get the temperatures hot enough. But that's the early sort of thinking of how they made iron. But it would have been something quite similar, where they sort of discovered at temperature, put iron ore and put carbon together, and you can make iron. So that was the early romance, I suppose.
Okay, well, hopefully that doesn't offend your wife at all in that respect. I don't know if you sent her flowers or if you sent her a slab of steel.
She knows that she's always come second to my work.
Okay.
At least she tells me this every day.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether that's good or bad, but, of course, hopefully you've got a great marriage, and I'm sure you do.
We do, and she's a very understanding wife. And, in fact, there's been many a time through my career where – as a metallurgist, of course, the country, the various roles, you're always on the end of the phone. There's challenges that we face in processing facilities, and you get the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've got to deal with it. And there's been the odd time where she's actually picked up the phone, and, of course, this is in more organisations where I've been working for quite a long time. She got to know all the people that I used to deal with. And she'd be given the instructions like, oh, you know what to do, do this and do that, and, you know, the usual read from the script, you know. That's quite funny. She's very understanding, understands the business well.
Well, it sounds like that she is the boss in the home. But yourself, you've worked, as with the intro, you've worked in a number of roles. And as I said, Managing Director of Doral and also Chief Operating Officer of MZI. Explain a little bit as how you moved into those roles from being a metallurgist to moving into more running the companies.
Yeah, so I've always been really interested in management and, working in processing facilities, you're always being groomed to take on, area management roles, and they're typically, not always, but typically they'll go to some, person with a technical background that understands, because we're in processing facilities, it is always good to know what the core business is when you go into management. So if you want to manage a hospital, for example, then it would be useful if you have some sort of medical training so you could relate to what's going on actually down in where the work is really happening. So some sort of specialty. So in my case, I'm a metallurgist, obviously, mining and processing facilities is what I'm technically trained to do, and therefore those particular facilities always have to be managed. And so it's quite typical that running a section would go to someone who's technically quite capable or someone who's got really, really strong operational abilities, but it's also obviously got the administrative skills to do that. So being tertiary trained, I suppose it gives you some reasonable administration skills. You obviously understand the technical side of it. Often technical, people with technical background, I've certainly found, don't always have the interpersonal skills. I've always loved people, dealing with people or, understanding people, and therefore for me management was a natural progression in my career. And very early on I had opportunities to manage teams, and I really enjoyed that and had the opportunity to receive some really, really good training very early on, which I was able to apply. I then took that a bit further and really formalised it through doing an MBA specialising in management, and therefore was really able to sort of galvanise that love of trying to motivate people, trying to support people in what they're trying to do, trying to get more out of an operation through the people that work within that operation. And it was just a natural progression into, those more senior management roles and eventually into, managing director roles and chief operating roles that I found myself in through my career.
And how have you seen the industry change over that career in relation to, of course, at the moment you're working within the mineral sands sector, but just how industry has sort of changed in exploration? How has that changed over the 30 years that you see it all?
In exploration or in just in the in general, the industry, how it's changed? I sort of missed your question there, Kieran.
Probably more in exploration, but also generally, I suppose, in industry.
Yeah, so in exploration, albeit exploration isn't my specialty, if you like. So probably I'm not overly qualified to talk about exploration, but certainly there's you know, there's a much more rigor around reporting of results and making sure that results are, you know, draw compliant, and you know, people have to stand behind what they report, and are personally, you know, liable if they misreport. So there's a real onus on reporting accurate results, and so it should be. But on industry in general, I think the biggest area has been in the safety and environment side of things, and a lot more onus has gone on to safe, you know, operating safely. And I've got quite a passion for safety. I mean, it's just closely linked to people and how people behave. So one of my specialties was organisational behaviour, and trying to understand that. And that was through my studies when I did my MBA. But using that, applying some of that knowledge into understanding how people think and why they sometimes do things that they do, why they take risks, and what drives people towards taking risks, and, you know, antecedent conditions and so on. And I found similarly with the environment, even though there's external pressures now that are, and rightly so, coming into you know, being much cleaner, using clean energy, and so on. There's a much bigger emphasis on using, you know, being very green. And interestingly, I would say back in the day, it was like a tick box that companies would tick to say they're green or striving to be green. But in actual fact, as things have evolved, I'm finding, and the industry is finding, that actually being green makes very, very good economic sense as well. So it's just a matter of time before energies that we see, like just talk about energy for a moment, that we see as being a little bit impractical or maybe a little bit expensive to implement, once the inertia gathers, those technologies will become cheaper and cheaper. As we've always seen, things have become cheaper and cheaper in real terms. And therefore, being able to adopt those energies, one, great for the environment, and secondly, great for, you know, for the sustainability of the company, which is what it's all about. We're here to be sustainable, you know. So I think that's probably the biggest change I've seen, that industries is adopting and keen to adopt these new technologies much more readily today, because they can see the economic link, I believe.
As you talk about energy there, and as you are also Strandline Resources Technical and Marketing Director at the moment, they have got a number of projects, and of course they're looking at a lot of minerals, which I would suspect a number of those minerals that you're exploring within Strandline Resources do move into the energy sector. But let's just get on to one of the projects, Coburn HMAS project. Can you give us a little bit of information? First, I suppose, a little bit about Strandline Resources, and then move on to the Coburn project.
Yeah, thanks, Kieran. I'd be pleased to. So Strandline Resources is an ASX-listed public company. We have been predominantly, up until this point, an exploration company. We have assets in Tanzania, in Africa, as it's on the east coast of Africa, right in the what I would call the mineral sands belt. So if you look along the east coast of Africa, you've got mineral sands in every country along the African eastern coast, bar Tanzania. So and the mineral sands runs along the coastline all the way from pretty well the north northeast right through to the south, and then up the west coast a bit. So Africa, like Australia, is blessed with mineral sands. So Australia has been the predominant producer of mineral sands products in the world for a number of decades now, and Africa's been not far behind. And it's maybe turning, where Africa might be the bigger producer and Australia's slightly behind, but they are the two main producers of mineral sands products. And the mineral sands products being titanium and zircon are the two predominant ones. So we, as Strandline, own a lot of assets in Tanzania, one ready for construction, which is called the Fungani project, which we completed the feasibility of about a year ago, and the Tajiri project, which is a large project to the north, which we just completed the scoping study. So there are other projects coming in behind. In Australia, we have the Cockburn Project, which is situated about 240 kilometres north of Geraldton in Western Australia. And that project is our main project that we're focusing on at the moment. And that project has just commenced construction. So we expect to be in production in the fourth quarter of next year.
Okay, then, within the minerals that you are exploring, I suppose, in relation to or digging up at the Cockburn Project, what are a lot of those minerals used for?
Yeah, okay, so the two main minerals are titanium and zircon. So titanium comes in various mineral forms. Ilmenite is the most common mineral, where it's a slightly lower titanium content mineral, and then it works its way up to rutile, which is a really high titanium content mineral. But the end result, all those titanium minerals, there's a range of them in between. All those minerals are used in similar applications. The lower titanium minerals tend to be upgraded in subsequent processes, and the rutile, which is a high purity titanium, tends to be more directly used. But at the end of the day, the titanium goes into paint pigment as its main biggest end use, as in welding electrodes for the welding electrode fluxes. And the one that's I find the most exciting is in titanium metal. So titanium metal, if you're a keen golfer, you've got your titanium golf heads. But in terms of the link with where the world is heading environmentally, titanium is a super light, super strong metal, and more is used in the construction of airplanes. Okay, so the big Boeing jumbos, for example, and larger planes all have more and more titanium being put into them with every model. So I think a jumbo has about 180 tonnes of titanium metal. And what this does, it allows the plane to be made lighter but stronger, and therefore uses significantly less fuel when travelling from one point to another. And therefore, we see in real terms, I think the cost of flying is in real terms become cheaper and cheaper as years have gone by. And one of the biggest drivers into that is that the planes are using far less fuel today than they were back decades ago, before titanium became quite in high use in this type of application. So for me, that's quite an exciting, fairly current application of titanium, and you can see more and more where this titanium metal is going to find uses in a new world that were not traditional, because it's just such a great metal. And zirconium metal, so zircon then going to zirconium metal, is heading the same way as well, where it as a metal is certainly has got some really interesting characteristics that isn't seen in other metals. So, but zircon is mostly at the moment in the current world is mostly used in the production of ceramics, and particularly ceramic tiles that we use in everyday living. The zircon is a very hard, wear resistant, and very opaque layer that is put on the tile to give the tile a really flat finish and a really hard wearing finish. That's one of its uses.
Now, as I said at the start in the introduction, you are actually the Strand Line Resources Technical and Marketing Director, which in a way some people try to understand. Of course, you're not marketing Strand Line Resources to the public. I suspect you're more marketing Strand Line Resources for investors. Is that correct?
The marketing side is more around the marketing for the product, okay? Because a lot of the industries that a metallurgist would typically work in, so production of metals and various minerals, the marketing of those metals are often is quite technical, where the use of that particular mineral or metal and the properties of that metal are often unique from one producer to another. I mean, even the marketing of iron ore, for example, each iron ore has this unique characteristics that, you know, any company will promote why it's the uniqueness of their iron ore versus a competitor's and why you should use my product over someone else's. So in that sense, having the technical degree, the technical background, allows you know, us as a producer to have a meaningful conversation with the customer who's really interested in what is the technical characteristics of your product and why would I use your product over someone else's? What's the benefit to me of using your particular product? You know, and are you able to sustain that quality and so on? So that's where the technical and the marketing go hand in hand. But it is a bit evolutionary for me because up until the more recent times, up until the point of construction, I've been sort of managing the feasibility study for the project. So, you know, obviously know it, you know, really, really well, inherently well, all the aspects of building the project. And it's come to the point of construction, which, you know, I've now moved into a different role. Others will take care of construction.
Okay, Mike, believe it or not, we're actually at the end of the podcast. Now, with Strand Iron Resources, you've got your hands full with a number of projects there. But thank you very much for joining us today on the Connected Industry podcast. And we wish you all the best with all the projects and the business as well.
Yeah, thanks, Kieran. It's been a real pleasure. And thanks to the audience for taking the time to listen to the Strand Iron story.
Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.